I will be speaking first and then Suzanne to get the ball rolling. Afterward, we'll have small groups for 20 minutes and then reconvene to share our experience. Joyce mentioned, may we light up our worlds so the choice for man becomes crystal clear. I'm all for that. That's what we're about today. That's what we're about in our lives if we're conscious of playing our roles. Letting the light increase. It's not just us, as was mentioned 2 weeks ago, but there are many people who are awakening, light workers, as it was referred to. And as the light increases in consciousness, people begin to see things that were hidden before that might suggest they changed the way they live their lives. People begin to remember that they don't have to live as they have, but could be kinder, could be more focused on what they're doing, could be more selfless, and so on. It's lifting up not some new idea, but a remembrance of who they are and what the purpose of their lives actually is. There are a lot of people who will embrace the darkness, don't want to change. Sort of the devil you know is better than taking a chance on the unknown, even though that unknown is the beauty and wonder of spirit, of love. But we give great thanks for those who are beginning to awaken to their true selves and, in their own way, begin to extend the light further into the consciousness of mankind. That is what the marvel is. We are all one, even if people don't recognize it. So what we do in our consciousness and our lives has an impact far beyond ourselves, because there is just one consciousness of humanity. Maureen said, the dragon of modern media bombards us all with a relentless torrent of horror, broadcasting war, systemic violence, financial ruin, economic collapse, and bitter, bitter political hatred. People are drawn into this constant negativity and hostility. Well, yes, the metaphorical dragon uses politics to divert our attention away from what is right and true within and into something divisive. Politics. That's something real that's in the world today, and we hear a lot about that on the news. People lean this way or lean that way. And you could say the dragon uses this principle of divide and conquer. Get people on one side to argue with people on the other side. And whichever bias you happen to have, you can find a newscast that agrees with you and seems to reinforce your view. And you can lean even further if you want, all the way to the side or all the way to the other side. And each side thinks they're right, and the other are a bunch of idiots. So people pour their life substance into these forms, but there's no solution there. The problem can't be fixed that way. It's a diversion. Another way that this occurs is through religion. I read somewhere that there are almost 2.5 billion people who identify themselves as Christians in the world. A lot of different flavors of this brand of religion. each one thinking they're right and everybody else is wrong. And wars have been fought over this. People have died. And there are other religions too that each think they're right, part of the same divide and conquer tactic that seems to work. But thinking of Christianity in particular, I read the words, the ones we think of as the Master spoke, and I don't remember him ever saying, I've come on earth to start a new religion. And yet, that's what's happened. I don't recall him ever saying, here I am, I want you to worship me, and I want you to pray to me. But that's what's happened. I don't think he ever said, this life doesn't matter too much. It's a testing ground to see where you're going to go after this life is over. But yet, that's what people pay attention to. And religion tends to be held together with the glue of shame and fear and guilt. And other religions too. Islam, for example, look at this life as a test to see where you will go in the hereafter. And on that basis, all sorts of actions are taken, including martyrdom in one form or another. But when the Master was on earth, he never said any of those things. He never said he wanted to start a religion. He said, you may know a heavenly experience now. He called it the kingdom of heaven. He tried to give people a feeling for what that's like. So he spoke in stories. He gave examples and parables. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this, it's like that. Give people a feeling for what it is like to live in the current of spirit now. He said, all these rules, strictures, laws that are based on the religion of his time aren't needed. To put it in our vernacular, he said, forget about it. You don't need all that stuff. Just love the transcendent truth that you are and love what's out there. Love within and love without. It's simple, really. That's all that's required. But very few people really have understood what he said, what he meant, and what he brought to earth. And as a consequence, we have this head of the dragon, one might say, distracting people. So we've come to bring light into our worlds. And let me be specific. I'll give you an example from my own life, which is a small thing. And all of us, I'm sure, have many examples of how we express light into our worlds. And if we are one with source, with the light of understanding, then everything we do is light-filled. I might mention before I give you my little example, Martin Exeter said, the light shines in the darkness of human minds and hearts. But hearts must be still and the mind tranquil before the light can shine and understanding come. We live in a golf course community, and I've noticed this year particularly the flower arrangements all around the different landscaped areas are just gorgeous. There's one place on the side of a hill where a shape of a bird has been cut out and filled with flowers. It's about 10 feet tall, and it's lovely. But one day I was up by the clubhouse and I noticed this woman working on a flower bed, and I felt the urge to go over and speak to her. I introduced myself, and she told me her name. And I said, "Are you responsible for the flowers around here?" And she looked up and she said, "Well, I am. The club hired me. I'm a horticulturist, and I've been working with all the flowers." I said to her, "I think what you've done is just exquisite. The flowers this year are so beautiful. I wanted to thank you for all that you've done." And she looked up at me, and it was like the clouds parted and the sun came out. And she said, "I can't tell you how much that means to me that you say that." I thanked her again and left, but then I thought of all the people in the world who are playing their part, doing the best they can in whatever way, and it means so much for them to be seen and to be appreciated. That's part of letting the life increase, letting the light increase. That's what we're here to do. So I'll pass it over to Suzanne to continue.
Thank you, Larry. Good to see everyone. So let's take a little bit different point of view. Think of the world as a giant supermarket. And a voice comes over the loudspeaker and it yells, "Clean up on aisle six." That's what we're here to do. We're the cleanup crew. Aisles one through five, they're fine. Aisle seven is fine. But aisle six, it's a little dark. It's a little cruddy back there. Luckily, there's an army of light bearers. Some of us on this call are members of the planetary attunement team. And every day, the first thing that we do is share attunement with the planet. And the feedback from the members are that the planet's just fine. Aisles one to five, just fine. Aisle seven, fine. Aisle six is this little bitty space on the surface of the planet where we all live. I often in the morning will wake up with a song in my head, and that seems to be a message transmission method for me. This weekend, it's a 100-year-old hymn. I've always liked this hymn. I got out the hymn book to see why this one was in my head. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Isn't that beautiful? I love that phrase, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. That happens for me every time we gather like this. In the light that is present in this Zoom room, everything else dims a bit in significance. From that standpoint, this little surface area where we live on the surface of the earth seems so big and important to us because this is where we live and move and have our being. In the cosmos, it's not all that big. but it's where we work. It's what we came to do, is clean up on aisle six. One of the many things that stood out to me 2 weeks ago was the mention of Sophia and Lucifer. I had never heard of Sophia. I Googled her, and a lot of interesting things came up, some of which were a little fringy. But what struck me was that Lucifer originally was equated with the planet Venus, that I've always thought had a feminine air to her, like the Pleiades, as opposed to Orion. And that Sophia and Lucifer were partners, were supposed to work together. As Maureen told us, Lucifer was the light bearer, and Sophia brought wisdom. As I recall, that was the sixth step. Yin and yang, male and female, wisdom and light. John Gray sent some of us an email this week, forwarded it from a woman named Lynn Twist. And one of the things she said in the email was that this is the Sophia century, that it is an era of restoring balance. I really like that. First, Sophia and Lucifer are reunited. Then they can go home and bring the world with them. I did find one quote when I was Googling Sophia and Lucifer that I really did like. I think it's from a Substack called A Thousand Suns. Across all sacred systems, the human experience is not sin, but separation, a fall from coherence into fragmentation. Sophia falls from the heart. Lucifer falls from the crown, this divine intelligence, expressions of consciousness separated from source. Both long to return. Return. Restore the balance. Show some light in aisle six. Get that cleanup done so we can see what comes next. From beginning to end, Martin Fissel talked about shining the light. In August 1954, the week Uranda's plane crashed, he said, "There has always been light, but we need to see in the light." And I thought that really paired with Sophia and Lucifer. Lucifer brings the light, and Sophia make sure we can see in it. The last thing Martin said to us was also about shining the light, and I want to read a quote from the last service, December 13th, 1987. "The yoke is easy and the burden light. The light is the creative power. There's no problem from the standpoint of the light. The problem has been in the space which has been occupied by Satan, but to which Lucifer now returns, so the light is born. The sole concern is to let the light shine. So in every circumstance, in every moment of our living, let your light so shine." 80 years ago, Uranda said, "A small group of individuals in manifest expression can release undreamt of power." Maureen and Joyce spoke about that 2 weeks ago, in other words. Maureen called that small group an emerging army of light workers unified by a shared radiant frequency. Sanford, can you pull up that graphic? That graphic is one of the images in my mind whenever I think of us, our Zooms, our Tone of Life gatherings, our transcripts, all of it. That's us. The army of light workers unified by a shared radiant frequency. Thanks, Sanford. Joyce said that with the light intensifying, our role as light bearers is to keep open the portals of mind and heart. Again, Sophia and Lucifer. So here's the question for the breakout room. It's a long one, but you can break it into phrases. As a unified body of Sophias and light workers, how do we best play our part to reveal the light in the global awakening to divine understanding now underway? We know it's happening. We know we're doing it. Let's talk about how. Sanford, can you put us in our breakouts?